Hi, it's Ian Pickus. We are back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District, in office since 2009, and he will be on the ballot himself in November along with the rest of the House. So, Congressman Tonko, why do you want another term and what would you do with it?
Well, it's always, you're always in the middle of progress that you're trying to strike. I certainly think that with unfinished business out there, as we implement over the next, it's a 10-year implementation that we're in the midst of, but as we look at these fundamental, foundational, transformational items that were passed in the first term of the Biden administration, with the leadership of President Biden and Vice President Harris, there's the, efforts to address and combat climate change. There's the efforts to make certain that we distribute the dollars from the infrastructure bill and the CHIPS and Science Act, getting that center on the National Semiconductor Center for the purposes of driving that all that innovation and that job growth located here in this region is a driving force, and I want to be around to continue to advocate for that, which has been a strong, outspoken advocacy, citing the strength of our manufacturing in regard to that semiconductor and microelectronics arena, to our R&D with our public and private sector investments, our nanoscience campus, our global foundries issue, and certainly GE's R&D, and then having the workforce development with centers like the community colleges, including our Hudson Valley, Schenectady County Community College, and the like, to make certain that with these centers getting so deeply invested, I want to be there to make certain that all of the efforts to go forward with the sound implementation of these bills, which regionalize, are really speaking in a very parochial quality to this congressional district. I want to make certain it's done effectively and that we get our fair share. But there's other legislation that also I would like to advance during the efforts as we go forward.
Also on the ballot in November will be an equal rights amendment to the New York State Constitution. How do you plan to vote on that one?
Oh, I think it's an easy vote up for the equal rights. I think it has great significance. It bears a lot of opportunity, and it's long overdue.
Some Republicans are trying to marshal opposition in New York State to the bill, and they say it'll lead to surgeries on children and trans people playing in the other gender sport. Do you have any reaction to that line of argument?
No, I think, a lot of these statements have been made and they've been, really addressed by the audience out there. That really is speaking to equality. And, anytime that we can address diversity, we can address equality, we can address inclusion, we need to. I think that this is, a very good opportunity for New York to strengthen the outcome for a lot of individuals and families and, strengthen society in general. So I think we're moving along. I think it will be a successful outcome. And I think we're moving along in addressing equality and equitable outcomes.
What would you and the Democrats and, if she wins, President Harris, like to do about American border policy and the immigration crunch that obviously, has been felt even in your congressional district with many of the refugees and immigrants being relocated from places like New York City?
Yeah. Well, I think this battle has gone on for far too long. And in this past year, we have had an opportunity to move forward with a bipartisan effort on immigration reform. And to have a candidate, former President Trump as a candidate, approach the Republicans on the Hill in Washington and ask that they suspend any efforts on approving this legislation when they themselves helped develop it is very telling. And I think it's a sad outcome when, his force within that party can deny progress for the American people. And so I think we lost a golden opportunity here that, again, was bipartisan in its development. It was a great come together of consensus, and it responds in many ways to the needs of the border. But we need to make certain that since immigration is always a dynamic for this country, if people are seeking harbor as asylum seekers or as refugees or as immigrants, you talk to industries in this country, in this state, in this district, healthcare, technology, certainly agriculture, they will tell you that they're heavily reliant on the forces that immigrants can bring to the outcome, that newly entering can bring to the outcome. And I think that, you know, we have to be real. We have to make certain that the funding of our office that deals with naturalization is funded appropriately. We need the court system at the border to be working. We need to make certain that there's a clearance so that if people are of soundness that are coming through, that the system responds favorably to them. We failed in that first attempt with develop the bill. That was a bipartisan statement of support for improvement at the border. And it's tragic that it was turned into a campaign discussion and a campaign need that former President Trump brought to the attention and to the request of Republicans on the Hill.
You had a roundtable discussion the other day on overdose awareness. Very compelling speakers attended that. And August was obviously Overdose Awareness Month. What changes would you like to see to the way the, you know, addiction recovery system works now?
Well, you know, we have an opportunity to fully implement our Mainstreaming Addiction Treatment Act, which, according to DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, as we removed many hurdles, the implementation of that legislation would be very important. In their own terms, in their own stats that have been shared, they calculate that what we have today is 135,000 individuals who can prescribe medication to address the illness of addiction. And we could take that to 1.83 million. To me, that's so many lives saved. That's so much hope provided, brought to the doorstep of individuals and families, since it's a family disease that impacts the entire family, so that as those who are struggling with the illness of addiction could get appropriate data to speak to their needs. When we're treating one in five with treatment on demand, we're simply failing. We're not strong enough in that regard. And so the assistance in that format would be very helpful. But then we also need, you know, to have a further attention made for various treatment opportunities and the funding of those treatments, making certain that there are work recovery programs so that those who are in recovery can have meaningful employment and be mainstreamed. I think that would go a long way to building again the foundation for the individual who has struggled through recovery and is now able and committed to work. And it would also go a long way to stamp out the stigma that's associated with the disease of addiction.
There's just a minute left in today's conversation, Congressman Tonko, but how confident are you that Vice President Harris will be able to lift the Democrats to a victory over former President Trump in November? What's your prediction as we speak about 2 months out?
I'm very confident. I think that the energy and the inspiration that has surrounded this campaign team, both the Harris and Walz force, are powerful forces that speak with compassion. They speak in terms of possibility, of commitment, of hope, of joy, of unity, versus a message of doom and gloom from the other side. I think they're seasoned in terms of policy development and responding favorably to the needs of individuals. You have a prosecutor who I think can deliver her case to the American people. She did that extremely well with her acceptance speech. And in a vice president candidate, you have a teacher, a coach, a soldier, a veteran, a former Congress member, and now a governor. I mean, the expertise, the talent, the background, the commitment, the heart and soul that they have for the American people, I'm very confident on behalf of the Harris-Walz team.
New York Congressman Paul Tonko is a longtime Democrat from the 20th District. Congressman Tonko, we're so grateful that you spend all this time with us on the Congressional Corner, and we'll look forward to the next round.
It is always my pleasure, Ian. So it's great to be with you and your listeners.